In today's Mishnah, we learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the seventh Perek Masechet Tamid. And we are at the point now where they would take the limbs that were brought previously onto the kevesh, onto the ramp, and then take them from that location and place them on the Mizbeach itself to be burnt. So Mishnah explains, Bizman Shel Kohen Gadol Rotzeh Lakdir, at the time when the Kohen Gadol wanted to do the offering, because he was learning Masechet Yomah, that the Kohen Gadol could step in whenever he liked, with whichever korban he liked. Then we say, Ha'ola Bekevich, he would go up the ramp, the Hasagan, and the deputy Kohen Gadol would be to his right. Higia, once he reached halfway up the Kevesh, he would begin to tire, and therefore, Achaz Hasagan b'mino v'he'elahu, and the deputy Kohen Gadol would assist him to go further. Hoshit lo Harishon, the first of the Kohenim that was given the task, had the Kohen Gadol not become involved, meaning the task now to place the limbs on the Mizbeach, or the first of the limbs, he would then take Harosh Varegel, which is the first of the limbs that were brought to Mizbeach, and hand it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would, the Samach Alehem, he would rest his hands on it. And normally we find that there's no concept of smicha, of resting hands on something that's already slaughtered. However, this is a different type of smicha. Smicha, it's simply as a sign of respect for the Kohen Gadol, to show his importance. Then what he would do was zarkanan that would be thrown on the Mizbeach itself. And that is derived from the fact that it says, Vasito latecha basar vahadam, that basar and dam are both linked together, meaning the flesh of the korban and the blood. And we know that the blood has to be done bezrika, it was thrown onto the Mizbeach, on the side of it, I should say. So therefore, the sacrificial parts as well, and the evarim, they would also have to be thrown from the location onto the fire. So Mishnah then continues, that first Kohen who took the Rosh and Regel, what would happen is Hoshit Hasheni, the second Kohen, would then take the Shnei Adayim, the two legs that were brought second onto the Mizbeach, and then give it to the Rishon, and he would not know the Kohen Gadol. So it would be passed on to the Rishon, and the Rishon would give it to Kohen Gadol. And once again, Samach Aleihem, he would rest his hands on it, Uzar Khan, and throw them onto Mizbeach. Then Nishmat Hasheni, the second Kohen, would Nishmat Hasheni Vahalachlo, and then leave, because he's finished his Avoda. The third of these Kohanim would then take the Oketz and the Regel, pass it to the Rishon, and it would continue as we've described previously. V'kachel Mashim Lo Shar Kol Avrim, that's how all the rest of the Avrim were passed onto the Kohen Gadol, and then placed on the Mizbeach, or thrown onto the Mizbeach. For who samach alehem v'zarkam, he would rest his hands on it and then throw them on the fire. The mission continues that ubizman shehu rotze, if the Kohen Gadol wished so, as we'll see, he could change the program slightly. He would simply hu somech, he would just rest his hands on it, v'acharim zorkim, and other Kohenim would throw the evarim, these parts, onto the Mizbeach. Ba'lo l'hakifat Mizbeach. Now it's time for him to perform the nisuch hayayin, the pouring of the wine libations, as we'll explain in a moment. So he wouldn't go immediately to the corner, because atop the ramp, the corner he needs to go to his left, which is the southwest corner. However, he cannot take a shortcut, because they always have to turn right, and therefore do the full circuit. Now he can do the full circuit, because he would not be carrying the nesachim, the wine libations. Normally, if it was a Kohen who was going to do it himself and carry it there, there are three exceptions that they could do such a shortcut. First, for Nisuch HaYayin, meaning if the Kohen Gadol did not get involved and the individual took this wine on his own, he would be able to make an immediate left. Also, the water libations that they did on Sukkot, and similarly, when they did Melikat Ta'of, when they'd offer the fully burnt bird offering, and when they'd offer at that corner. Now, the reason why they'd do a shortcut, even though ordinarily you're not allowed to, is out of concern that as they're going around the Mizbeach, the smoke from the fires there would ruin the wine and the water, or with the bird, by the time the bird gets it, it'll be, from inhaling so much smoke, it'll just die. So therefore, normally they would do this shortcut for those three activities. And despite the fact that Kohen, as I explained, Kohen Gadol is going to be doing this Nisuch HaYayin, since he's not carrying it around with him, as we'll learn in a moment, he would do this circuit. So Meheichan hu matchil, where would he go? It says, Mikern Dromit Mizrachit. He would take a right turn at the top of the ramp and go to the southeastern corner. Then he'd go to Mizrachit Tzvonit, so he keeps walking around the Mizbeach, around the top of it. So he goes to Mizrachit Tzvonit, then Tzvonit Maravit, so through the northeastern corner, northwestern corner, until he eventually reaches the Maravit Dromit, this southwestern corner that he had to perform the Nisuch HaYayin. Then it says, Natnu lo Yayin lanasech. What they would do then, they would then hand him the wine, because I explained he can carry it around with him, and then he would be able to perform the wine libation there. How it was performed, there were two sfalim, there were two bowls, if you like, or kind of like bowls, or goblet-like bowls, that were placed at that corner. And at their base, there was a hole. And when they'd pour wine down the eastern one, that's where the wine libations would be poured. It was a western one that the water libations would be poured. And they would pour it into the cup, and it would go into a pipe that would go down into this chamber, this empty space under the Mizbeach. It was referred to as the Shittim. There's another understanding that it would actually go straight down to the depths. Different explanations exactly what these Shittim were, but I'll leave that matter for your further study. In brief, they would basically hand him the wine, and he would pour it down the eastern of the two different Sfalim. Hasagan Omer Ahmed Ala Keren. So the deputy kohen at that point would be standing at the corner, again, Judy's covered, Vahasudarim Biado, and he would have some sudarim, some garments or some fabric in his hand, that he would wave when the kohen gadol was going to do Nisuch HaMayim. And the purpose of that is so they can coordinate the Levi'im to sing their shir of that day at that time. Ushne kodim omdim al shulchan chalavim. Now the shulchan chalavim was on the western side of the kevesh, because there were two shulchanot. One was of silver, on which they would place all the clay shara that they took out in the morning for a call. They inspected everything was there in the morning, and they would place the 93 clay kesef and clay zahav that we discussed previously. And there was also one made of sheish, of marble. And that's where they would place the various limbs of korbanot. We're not talking about the korban atami that was placed on the ramp, as we've just described, but while they were waiting to be placed directly on the mizbeach. And that's referred to the shulchan ha-chalavim. Again, that's where the chalavim referred to the sacrificial parts. So returning to the Mishnah itself, so at the time when the Kohen Gadol was about to do the Nisuch HaYayin, they would stand on that table. It says, Ushtei chatzotzot shel kesef bi'adam, they'd have two silver trumpets in their hands, Taku v'ariyo v'taku, they would blow tkia tru tkia, and that's to draw attention to the singers, to that they should be ready to start singing. And more importantly, to be aware and look for this sudar to be waved. Ba'u, they would come, u'va'amdu etzel ben Arza. Those two kohanim would then come next to ben Arza, who was in charge of the tzilzal, which is the symbol that would be crashed in order to start the singing. Achad mimino v'achad bismolo, one on each side of him. Shacha, when the kohen who was doing the nisuch hayayin would bend over l'naseach to do the nisuch hayayin to pour it out, then the hinif has skan besudarim, the skan would then wave the sudar, the hikish ben arza betzilzal, and at that point ben arza would crash the cymbal, the dibru halevi'im beshir, the levim would begin to sing the shira, which is the shir shel yom. Hegiu lo perek, meaning the shir itself was broken up into three different parts. So once they ended one part, it says taku, the kohenim would blow tkia trua tkia. Vishtachavu ha'am, and all the people that were there would bow. Who explained bowing the Beit HaMikdash was with pishut yadayim v'raglayim, extended hands and feet. And they would do so, and it says, al kol perek, every time they completed each one of the three prakim, there would be this tkia trua tkia. Va'al kol tkia, and with every tkia, there was hishtachava, everyone would bow. And Mishnah ends by saying, Zehu seder ha'tamim la'avodat Beit Elokeinu. This is the order of the morning Tamid, really, or that happened every day as part of the Vodah in the house of our God, of Hashem. It's, and ends with the Hiratzon, which may be Hashem's will, Shibane bimhera bi'aminu, Amen. Amen is actually added as part of the words of the Mishnah, meaning that it should be Hashem's will that he will build the Beit HaMikdash speedily in our days. Amen. Let's now learn Mishnah Dalin, and this should be a familiar Mishnah to you, as we say in davening. Hashir shayu alevim omrim b'migdash. The shir that the levim would say every day made to midash depended on the day. That's the shir shel yom. B'yom reishon hayo omrim, they would say the tehillim perek chaf daled, which begins la David mizmor, and the Mishnah then continues, as it says, Lashem ha'aretz umloa tevel v'yoshveva, that to Hashem is the land and its fullness, inhabited lands and those that dwell in it. Meaning, the reason why we open with that Tehillim is because this is on the Yom Rishon was the first days of Maaseh Bereishit. So everything is ultimately brought about by Hashem, and therefore belongs to Hashem. B'sheni on the second day of the week, which is what we'd call Monday, Gadol Hashem mehulal me'od bi'ir Elokeinu sur har kodsho, the Tehillim Memchet, which actually begins with Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach, meaning Hashem is great and very praised, Be'ir Elokeinu, in the city of our God, and in Har Kodesh on his holy mountain. Why is this talking about the greatness? Because it's on Yom Sheni that Hashem split the two waters and placed the Rakia between the upper and lower waters. B'shlishi omrim Elokim nitzav badat kel b'kerev elohim yishpot, that Hashem is, this is Tehillim Pei Bet, that Hashem is stationed Ba'adat Kel in the congregation of Hashem, Bekerev Elokim Yishpot, and he judges amongst the Kerev Elokim, which means in the midst of the judges he shall judge, or he judges. So why is talking about this? Because now the judges are to judge on dry land, and it is on the third day that Hashem move the water aside to reveal dry land. Berevi'i, on Wednesday, or we'd call Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, El Nekamot Hashem, El Nekamot Ofia. This refers to Hashem's vengeance. This is Perek Chatzadi Daled. Why is that? That's the day Hashem created the stars and the moon and the sun, and these were worshipped and treated like gods themselves by Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And Hashem will ultimately take vengeance against those who do so. B'chamishi hayu omrim, it was on the fifth day, Harninu El Elohim Ozeinu Hariu L'Elokei Yaakov, which means sing out loud to Hashem, our strength, call out to the God of Yaakov. What's associated with that day? Because on that day, all creatures began being created, fish and birds. And those that see them will meranen and call out praises to Bora Olam, to Minhu Hashem. B'shiyah mirmim, on a Friday, we say Hashem malach ge'ut lavesh, which refers to Hashem, he clothed in majesty. And that's referring because it was on that day that all the Bria, all the creation, was completed. B'Shabbat Hayu Omrim, on Shabbos, I would say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. And Mishneh adds, that's Mizmor Shir La'atid Lavo. That's the Shir that will be sung in the future, L'Yom, on the day that Shukulo Shabbat Menucha L'Chayei Olamim. That's a day of rest, eternal rest. So what is this referring to? That is because the world is understood that it will last. For every day of creation, if you like, is 1,000 years. So in the 7,000 year, meaning from 6,000 onwards, that will be like a year of Shabbat, where it will be, the world will be completely destroyed and desolate, and that will be a time where Veniskam Hashem Lavad Biyomahu. That will be a time where Hashem will be there on his own. What's interestingly here, Kadi cites the Bura Gra that actually says, the cites of Zohar, that says that actually this is not talking about days of the week necessarily. All these days, Yom Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, these Mizmorim relate to each of the 1,000 years since the Bria, since creation. Meaning, in the first 1,000 year, the world seemed to be complete, and everything seemed to be sufficient. It was tov in all matters until it came to the time of the flood, where there was a destruction. Then Gadol Hashem Ol Meod Be'er Lokeinu. Why? That's because it was in the second 1,000th year that Hashem chose Har Hamoriah, and that Hashem will be praised there. In the 3,000th year, we say Lokim Nitzabadat Kel. What's that referring to? Because it was in the 3,000th year that Hashem gave the Torah, and therefore he's Nitzav in the congregation of Hashem, meaning Bnei Israel. In the 4,000th year, El Nekamot, that's referring to Hashem's vengeance. Why? Because it was in the 4,000th year, in that period, that the nations destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem will take vengeance. In the 5,000th year, we get to the point of Harninu, where we call out to Hashem. Why is that in that period? That is because since we did not have Beit HaMikdash, all we had was Rina, the pair. All we had was the capacity to daven to Hashem during this entire duration of the 5,000th year, in other words, 4,001 to year 5,000. Then in Shishi, the sixth day in which we are now, it seems like towards the end of that day, or that 1,000, it says Hashem Malach. Why? Because it's in this time that Hashem will be a Melech over Am Yisrael, V'Hataj L'Hashem Amlucha. And then once again, the Shabbat is Moshil Yom Shabbat, as we explained about what happens in that final 7,000th year. Those are the Mishnah today.